Welcome to the Capital Minute, where we are teaching citizens about God and government minutes at a time every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday with your host, Reverend Perry Gauthier with Capital Studies International.
Loving government or loving neighbors? I love politics. Politics is simply the science of governing. I told one pastor that I love politics and I love politicians as a missionary into the political world. He sat up and looked very uncomfortable and said to me, "Politics is always a dirty word." Really? Is it wrong to love politics? People are riled up in the United States about the current elections. I received a note from a man in South America, in a capital there, and he told me his sadness that President Biden had won the presidency because it would affect Planned Parenthood in his country. He said, "All eyes are on America," and this man spoke with great passion for the love of the unborn and the importance of politics. Have you seen the TV celebrations of the projected winner? People cheering, people crying, people posting praises of Biden and Harris on social media. They love their candidate. And the same is true with President Trump, the rallies he held with thousands outdoors, some in the cold. And the caravans, I thought I heard that one was 87 miles long. Horns honking, flags waving, red MAGA hats. Well, that's a whole lot of love right there. They loved their candidate. Well, here's today's big question. Is it okay to love politics, or should the Christian just love their neighbor? Here's the problem. Some people think that you are only to love your neighbor, and it is not acceptable, right or Christianly, to love government. One of the most important governmental passages in the Bible is Romans chapter 13. In our ministry in over 33 U.S. capitals, I happened to gift one of the state governors a Bible, and I stuck my ministry business card into Romans chapter 13, marking off verses 1 through 7. I told the honorable governor that I didn't know if he read his Bible, but if not, that's okay, and I would recommend that he read Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 7, and I respectfully told the governor that those, in my opinion, are the most important seven verses in the entire New Testament on civil government, and that he should memorize them. Let me read for you Romans 13, 1 through 4. "Every person is to be in subjection to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. For rulers are not a cause of fear for good behavior, but for evil. Do you want to have no fear of authority? Do what is good." Verse 4 says, "For civil government is a minister of God to you for good. But if you do what is evil, be afraid, for it does not bear the sword," that's lethal power, "for nothing. For it is a minister of God, an avenger who brings wrath on the one who practices evil." Summarizing verses 5 through 7, it says, "Therefore it is necessary to be in subjection to your rulers, pay your taxes, and give them honor." It sounds like God wants us to care and to honor government as if it is for our good. Now, one of the key rules in Bible study is whenever you study a passage, you need to study the context in which you find the passage. The context is simply the text around the text that you are considering. Romans 13, 1 through 7, the most important New Testament passage on civil government, is in a context of love. Romans chapter 12 has an emphasis, especially the last half of the chapter, on love. Romans chapter 13, verse 8, immediately begins talking again about love. Before our governmental passage, Romans 12, 8 says that Christians should show mercy. Verse 9, they should be loving without hypocrisy. Verse 10, be devoted in brotherly love. Verse 13, contributing to the saints' needs. That's pretty loving. Verse 15, weep with those who weep. Verse 19, take no personal revenge. And verse 20, feed your enemy. This is all very personal and very loving. Then we have Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 7, on civil government, which I just read. But let me tell you what comes immediately after. Romans 13, 8 says, don't owe debts to each other, except have a debt of loving one another, because love fulfills the law. Verse 9 says, don't commit adultery, don't commit murder, because you should love your neighbor. And verse 10 says, love does no wrong to its neighbor, and love fulfills the law. So let me summarize this for you. The most important passage on civil government in the New Testament is floating like an island in a sea of a theme of love. Many a Bible scholar has seen this seeming break in the passage, and they think, some of them anyway, that this is a problem. How can these concepts about civil government fit in the flow of loving our neighbors and loving people? Some see it as a problem. But if we have a problem with the way Scripture flows, the problem, quite frankly, my friends, is with us. And it does fit. The section on civil government does fit. It's like a prime rib sandwich with the meat of the theology of the importance of God's idea of government sandwiched between the duties to love our neighbor. So, how does this fit? Let me say it this way. The flow of loving your neighbor must include your love of civil government insofar as it honors God. For government is God's idea, and a very good idea at that. You see, civil government affects everything in our lives. I was recently at a prayer meeting with an 84-year-old pastor missionary, and he spoke to those of us assembled for prayer and made a very strong comment. He said, everything is political. Here's a man of God. He understands life. He's had decades and decades, many decades of Christian ministry, and he understands the importance of civil government and how it affects everyone's lives. So let me close with this. Some people say the only way you love your neighbor is you be nice and kind and smile and help them with practical needs and share the gospel with them. In fact, really, the most important way to love your neighbors, just share the gospel. Well, I have 7 illustrations of the importance of loving your neighbor by seeing the importance of civil government. This is for my Only the Gospel Matters Christian brothers. So 7 questions here. How about some love? Number 1. How about loving your neighbor by caring about government's role, for example, in legislating against the violence of radical jihadist Islam? Because in the Quran, in Surah 8:12, that's chapter 8, verse 12, the Quran says that there should be terror stricken in the infidel, that's us, Christians and Jews who don't believe in Islam, and you must smite them at the neck, and you must smite off their every finger. Would it be loving to care that government in the United States or other parts of the world stop such murderous violence? How about loving your neighbor? Would you care if you had a grandson, maybe not even born yet? Let's call him Joey, and he was molested by a homosexual. If sodomy in our culture continues to ramp up and increase, would it be loving to care that your government protected marriage and family, not promoting sexual deviancy through law? Thirdly, how about some love at the local level? What about bathroom bills? What if your daughter is in a restroom and a transgender, transsexual, transvestite man comes in because he dysphorically believes he's a woman and it traumatizes your daughter? Would it be loving to care that such government-sanctioned and enforced policies are affecting your neighbor? Fourth, how about taxation? President Calvin Coolidge said overtaxation is theft. Would it be loving to your neighbor to care, regardless of their faith or lack of faith? Would it be loving to care that government not overtax your neighbor? Most of us know what it is to struggle economically. What if government swells and the tax bill to pay for such a swollen government limits the liberty of your neighbor? Do you care? Would that be loving to be involved, to see that government do the right thing in regard to taxation? Three more. Fifthly, and what about government's role in abortion? Let's say there's a little five-month-old girl named Camille. Let's say because of government funding and government policy and government, quote, legality, she's butchered in the womb. Oh, my evangelistic friends, do you not realize you will never share the gospel with Camille at age 5 or 15 if she doesn't survive her mother's womb? Sixth, would you be loving to your neighbor? Would you care? I still remember tearing up as I watched a father in tears on TV as he wept at the trial of the murderer of his daughter who raped her and killed her as an illegal immigrant in the country wrongly, in prison for crimes, released from prison, and raped again and killed this man's daughter. Is it loving to want government that bears the sword not for nothing to protect such daughters and such fathers from pain? And finally, number seven, would it be loving to your neighbor if you cared if government helped control anarchy? Or are you all for terror in the streets? And are you all for non-peaceful protest? Or would you rather have government step in? Because as we read earlier in this important passage about civil government, government bears the sword and it punishes those who practice evil. So in conclusion, Christians are to love their neighbors in very personal ways and love your neighbor by loving God's ordained idea of civil government. So the question is, should I love my neighbor or God's good idea of good government? Well, the answer is yes. This is Perry Gothier with the Capital Minute.
For more information, go to capitalstudies.org. That's CAPITOL, studies.org.